I certainly hope you've been enjoying this series on the world religions. The first was on Hinduism and Buddhism, and then we did Judaism, and then last time, Confucianism and Taoism. This is not meant to be academic material. You can go in much greater depth if you'll read some of the sources that are suggested, particularly at the end of the seventh lesson. This is meant to give us an introduction and confidence and creativity as we reach out to people from different faiths. For example, the day that I recorded the podcast on Judaism, it wasn't an hour later that I was outside of the home and I was talking with a Jewish woman who had some great questions. She was fascinated by my interest in Judaism, by the fact that I've met rabbis, I've studied the faith, and she wanted to talk, not just about Christian-Jewish relationships, not just about the Holocaust, of course, that immensely painful event, but she also wanted to know why the Jews followed Christ, at least many did, and yet many others didn't. Why the division? And that's when I was able to tell her about the scriptures of the Messiah in the Hebrew Bible, the Messiah being the lion and the lamb both, and explaining that difference and how that appeals to different kinds of people made sense to her. She was smiling. She was relaxed. She wanted to go further. That's what I want us to do, to build bridges, to enable people to come to faith. But they won't cross that bridge unless we are good bridge builders. In these next two lessons, we're going to talk about Islam. I break it into two lessons because it's so much in the news, because Islam is such a large religion, and maybe because it's the religion I know most about after Christianity. My first time inside a mosque was in 1983. A man I'd studied the Bible with and baptized invited me back to his home country. I was still single at that point, and so I flew to Malaysia. And to be honest, before I went there, I didn't even know where it was. I mean, I knew it was in Asia. My geography is a lot better now than it was back then. And for 1 month, I lived with him. I drove all around Malaysia, staying with his Chinese relatives, eating Chinese food, eating spicy Indian food, asking questions. It was fascinating. And he lived near the capital of Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur. And one day we went to visit the mosque in Kuala Lumpur. Actually, his home was right next to like a little mosque, you know, where they had a tower amplifying the call to prayer. I'd never heard that before. Now I hear it whenever I speak in the Islamic world. I've spoken in perhaps 20 countries where Islam is strong or dominant. That was my first time in a mosque. I've been into many, including the world's largest mosque in Jakarta. And so I'm encouraging us to engage, not just to use this material academically, though you can. Interesting, in 2011, I was invited to two different universities in Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh. Bangladesh is more than 80% Muslim. I was on the program with seven eminent Muslim professors. It was a chance not just for me to present my ideas, that is, to present parts of the gospel that we could cover in the time allowed, but to interact with them, to take questions from the crowd, to show them a different side of Christianity. Please keep that in mind as you listen to these lessons. The founder of Islam, of course, is Muhammad. He was born in 570 AD. When he was 40 years old, the story goes, Allah spoke to him through the angel Gabriel. And as he, over a period of months and years, wrote down revelations from Allah on whatever he could find, these revelations were compiled, collected soon after his death, into what is called the Quran. The basic teachings of the Quran are called the five pillars. That to become a Muslim, one must confess that Allah is the one God, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. If one believes that, he becomes a Muslim immediately. Think of the belief of many Christians that the sinner's prayer, said sincerely, brings you into the faith. It's kind of like that. Oh, there are four other pillars. You've probably heard a lot of them. Most of us have heard of the Hajj or the Hajjis, those who go to Mecca on pilgrimage. And that pillar is that during one's life, if you're physically and financially able, you should go to the holy city of Mecca. Mecca, Medina, Jerusalem, these are the holy cities of Islam. But there are others, of course. There's prayer, five times a day according to tradition, though not according to the Quran. There's giving money to the poor, zakat. And giving one's money away normally is at the rate of a little over 2%, though some schools of Islam say 20%. And what am I forgetting? Oh, of course, fasting during the holy month of Ramadan, during the daylight hours. Those are the basic teachings. Perhaps you've heard of some of those. The Quran, in a sense, was amplified because after Muhammad's death, his followers collected reminiscences of his life, recollections of his sayings, hundreds of thousands of them, in fact. And these were culled and shrunk into different collections of hadith. And the hadith are not scripture, but in my opinion, that's much more interesting than the Quran. Even though I've read the Quran three times and written a book about it, I think the hadith is where the interesting stuff is. Wish I had more time to tell you about it in this short lesson. But there are many misconceptions about Muslims. Often when I speak on the subject, I'll ask the audience, I'll give them a little quiz. I'll say, well, what's the holy book of Islam? And they usually get that one right. I say, what language do Muslims speak? Most of them. And most people reply Arabic, which of course is false, because most Muslims don't live in that part of the world. And I ask them, what's the largest Muslim country? There'll usually be one or two people in the crowd who'll get it right. They'll say Indonesia, yes, which has more than 200 million Muslims. And the second largest Muslim country is India. Now, I know I said in the first World Religions podcast that India is predominantly Hindu. That's true, 80%. Yet India is such a large nation with a population far beyond 1 billion inhabitants already that the Muslim population of India alone stands second only to Indonesia in its global representation of Muslims. It's just enormous. Well, we're going to talk more about Islam in the next lesson, which will focus on what some call a sixth pillar, and that's the pillar of jihad. I will explain that. But for now, please allow me to share some thoughts about how we can reach out to Muslims. The first tip is that friendship is of the essence. Even with relatively westernized Muslims, they're more the kind of people I've tended to interact with where I've lived in Britain and the United States. Friendship has been so important, and even more so in communities where there's solidarity and you're the outsider trying to break in. Friendship is vital. Secondly, learn about the Quran. You can read it. It's not long. It's only 80% the length of the New Testament. It's a little slow at the beginning, but it builds up, sort of. And I would not only read it, which shows respect to them, as you might imagine, many Muslims have never read the Quran, and most Muslims don't read Arabic anyway, so they're not able to read it in the original. The fact that you've simply completed it is surprising to them. Just as for many so-called Christians who claim they believe in the Bible, but they've never read the whole Bible, you get the upper ground. You have more moral authority and persuasion when you have taken the time to do that. And to help you, perhaps read a book about Islam, about its history, about the Quran. And the third suggestion is this. 22% of our world are Muslims. We must not, we cannot afford to ignore them. No, we need to engage. I want us to be confident and sharing our faith with all people. It's been my pleasure to meet many Muslims with whom I've been able to share, even to meet them in public debate. And you may never do that, but certainly if more than 1 in 5 human beings is a Muslim, and we are serious about what Jesus said, about loving our neighbor as ourselves, if we believe that he modeled what Paul taught, that we must become all things to all men, then we must not and cannot be apathetic or uninvolved. It's time to engage. In the next podcast, Islam B, we'll continue our discussion as we look at the troubling doctrine of jihad.